XO. And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia standing in for Jonathan and Jimmy for Out of the Box. And it is always wonderful coming in here. The show before is great. And I want to really give a shout out to Schutz. And that is really, really perfect, honoring Prince in a way that only community radio can do. And, you know, I just really want to speak to honoring those that have passed before. And Schutz has an album called Chapin. And it is just the most amazing album, except I tear up. When I listen to it, it is him and his own father collaborating on an album. And that one happened that his father passed when he was 4 years old. And so it's an after-the-fact redo of his father's music and his music and the two of them together. And it is great. And Schutz, you've done a great job with Prince, who's passed today. And we honor him and love him. And we honor you and your dad.
Music is so important. Music is everything.
Yes, and I'm sure for your mother to have her baby and her man on the same album is great. So Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kalaheo Chiropractic and Ching Yung Village.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
This is Ron Whaley, KKCR, Hanalei. And KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Ching Yung Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Ching Yung, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culverhouse, for your support.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We are going to be having a fun drive coming up next month, and you can even shorten that for us by going to kkcr.org and hitting that donate button, because it does keep us on the air. Marshall, are you, we'll see if he's in. And then I have Kaylin Kelly-Coma in the studio. Kaylin?
Hello, Felicia.
Yep, there he is. So today, you know, we're going to have a larger focus about keeping Kauai healthy and resilient. And our two major emphases that we're going to have in the first half of the show is Kaylin. He was just taught me this master food preservation workshop, which was extraordinary. So we're going to be talking about food, having it, and saving it. And in the second half of the show, our emphasis is going to be on saving lives. We have Chris Pico, one of the lifeguards, and then Andy Melamed and Dickie Chang, who are from the Kauai Lifeguard Association, who do a whole lot to make sure that the lifeguards have the capacity to save lives. So we'll be talking a little bit about ocean safety and how everybody can help with that. And then, just starting off before we get to either one of those points, I'm doing a little tiny democracy update. Marshall, have you been paying attention to what's been going on this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I will claim my bias. I was disappointed in the New York primary. Did you watch any of it?
Sure. A little disappointed myself. I guess it's not too surprising. We knew it was coming. But in a way, it was a real turning point for the race there, at least for Bernie. Makes it real challenging for him. With I think it's 5 primaries coming up next Tuesday, and that's really going to tell the tale for him.
Okay, and yeah, I think it was something like 43% to 57% or something like that, and Donald Trump, I believe, got 60%. So New York has a whole lot of delegates. So that, you know, puts it out there a lot. I have watched a bit, and it, you know, it's definitely not over. That Bernie Sanders, he could still do very well in the rest of this, but
he needs to get at least 60% of the remaining delegates. It's going to be really tough. You know, if he sweeps next Tuesday, then he could have some realistic, you know, basis to say, well, I could still win this thing in the delegates. But what he's saying at this point is delegates or no delegates, he's going to the convention. He wants every one of his supporters to have a chance to vote for him. And that's nice.
Well, I think that's very important. And I would say that one thing that we are getting out of this race is being able to see the dysfunction of our party system, that it isn't really very much like what people vote for. When we're watching in the Republican race again, how they can upend what the popular vote is, you know, so there's quite a bit of that going on.
You know what's great is we're all learning a lot. This primary season, I just have never seen so much hashed right through to the rules and regulations, and I think even the newscasters are getting a good education on how this works. And, you know, going forward, we could change it. If we don't like the way this is, let's start our own party.
Right. And certainly people can work from within the party. And last Saturday, I went to the Kauai Democratic Convention. And the group had put out the resolutions. I have to, full disclaimer, I wasn't on top of it enough to be part of these resolutions, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You could look on KauaiDemocrats.org, and they have about 10 resolutions here, and they all are so progressive. One is, you know, having a zero waste foundation for format for how we do our policy statewide. There's one about how to eliminate the superdelegates, living wage for Hawaii workers at $15 an hour, single-payer health care, how to close the tax havens after the revelation of the Panama Papers. You know, this is a pushback. So Kauai sends this to Oahu, and then all the islands sit there and look at it. I will be at that. There's another one about climate change, another one about the elimination of special IRS depletion rules. That's, you know, discouraging the overtaking of minerals and earth, pieces of the earth out. There's one on financial transaction tax. There is a call to implement the 2014 resolutions concerning gathering of health data on Kauai. That is a response to the joint fact-finding study on pesticides, and just saying, basically, we need to look at the health of everybody, you know, something more like an epidemiological study. And then there was one more about securing our rights to vote by outlawing proprietary voting machines. So there was, you know, all but the superdelegate one, there was no resistance on any of them. And so that is very progressive for, you know, what I would have expected. That was my first convention that I went to for here.
So these are the suggestions from the Kauai County Democratic Party for the Hawaii State Democratic Party to include in their planks.
In their planks to send to the U.S.
To send to the U.S. So this is where Kauai's input happens.
Right. And so something that I'm learning is how these things come out, you know, how it you know, there's all these opportunities to just keep learning. And one of the reasons I switched today with Jimmy, for he did my show on Tuesday, is I went to the general plan update meeting on agriculture.
Right.
And they had this guy, Jeff Melrose, who's doing the state study and the baseline study. And so it's what's called a snapshot. And this, I'm looking at Kalen a lot because, you know, what he does at WIPAW, they're definitely part of this whole agriculture look. And so we saw maps of pre-contact. That's obviously an estimate of what was there. Then it goes up through a few different year points, looking at, like, I think 1870 and then 1970. I should pull it out. It's in my briefcase here. And, like, 81 and then 2015, and how much the change has been in the land use. And so one slide that he had that I thought was really of value is he said, leadership of the land use has moved from the boardroom to the kitchen table.
Hmm.
And I thought that that was really an important way to frame that. And that I was relieved to see him say that, because when it goes to the respect for the families,
right.
Because it is moving more to small, resilient, diversified ag. And, you know, a lot of the bigger agriculture is either the seed companies. Sugar on Maui, this is its last season. That's a very big patch of it. So how that land gets reutilized, how the water's utilized. And I want to give a big mahalo out to all my friends and other, you know, I liked everybody in the room. But like all these people who did come, it was one of the most well-attended general plan update meetings that I have seen. So I congratulate people for showing up, because agriculture really matters on how we make these land choices. And even yesterday at the county council meeting, again, it came up about homestays on farmland. Sometimes, and what was clear even in his presentation, is those are the type of questions we have to ask, because the land is so incredibly expensive. It's not the normal agriculture model. How do we be able to have these farms if you can't find some way to make, you're on a couple $1 million piece of land, you know, it's hard to sell enough papayas to pay for that. So it was looking at that.
Yeah, in a whole lot of places, that's a really nice vacation you can take. Go stay in a little cottage on a farm somewhere, very bucolic setting. We actually did that when I was a kid. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's across the world, that is one way to do it. And there's a legitimate concern that they don't want the farms to really be hotels that just have a little bit of farm stuff on there to be a genuflection to what their real intention is. But I do see that it is very important to have food produced on the island. And I'm smiling at Kalen again, and you can speak in any time that you want, Kalen, because he was saying a lot of people who take his classes are something kind of like a prepper, and I'm probably something like a prepper. I mean, I'm not waiting for the sky to fall anymore. But I do think that I used to say on the air all the time, we'll be fine if they cut the line. We have to put ourselves in a position where if for some reason the barge didn't come, we'll be fine. We were fine here for 1,000 years before contact. There's no reason that can't be so much easier now than it was then, just by all the more plants that are here. It's so possible, and
we could get there.
We could get there, and we could get there fast if we had the political will and people were willing to do a little bit of work. So in that line, there's always ways to be having training, one of which is Saturday at WIPAW. Kalen, do you know what time the workday is, the training workday at WIPAW?
The workday is from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and you can call the office at 826-9969 and leave a message, and we'll get back to you. We are going to do work on our stream restoration project of Mauka. And we want to make sure we have a head count, because we make a lunch for everybody. We want to make sure that after you work, you eat.
Yeah, and the food is really, really yummy. And actually, that stream restoration is one of my favorite things to do. I love doing that because I like cutting the roots, the hau roots out of the awai, actually. It's, to me, really fun. But those are the kind of core skills that people start to lose and to not understand. And we've done a show on community emergency response team. We're going to be doing one on the Red Cross and ham radios and knowing how to manage our AWI, our ditch system and our rivers is really important.
Oh, very important. And, you know, it's just nice being up there working in the quiet, leave your cell phone behind because you don't want to get it wet. But whatever work that you do for the day, you really are making a big difference, and it helps the whole water system. So even though we don't see the result right away, you know, in the long run, it's all good work.
That's right, and it's a mountain to the sea, watershed management. That's what the Ahupua'a system is. That's what Waipa is about, and Waipa is really lucky. Kauai is really lucky that we have a learning center, a Hawaiian cultural learning center, that actually has the capacity to be mountain to the sea.
Yes, and with the work we do there, we're never going to finish in our lifetimes. You know, the next generation will pick up where we leave off and so on and so forth.
That's right. But a lot of work has happened. And then this Sunday, and I'm going to be manning a booth, and I hope that you can come some, Kaylin, but I know you got something else going on that day, so you're going to be really busy with that. But Malama Kauai, in partnership with many different organizations, including Regeneration, so I'm giving a shout-out for the one that I'm directly involved with, we are having an Earth Day event right there behind the food forest. And there's a bunch of different workshops. Do you know what some of those workshops are, Marshall?
I sure do. We've got bamboo building with Tony Lydgate. We've got an introduction to beekeeping with Jimmy. Would you like to know what all of them are?
Well, yeah, say them real quick.
All right. There's going to be one on mulching and nitrogen-fixing plants with Paul Massey, our own Paul Massey of Regenerations. There are going to be great cakey sessions. So one is about the coconut tree and all the uses of the coconut tree. There's grafting and air layering with Ashley Trask. There's one with Gordon Labette on Kauai marine issues. There's a workshop on distillation with Tammy Davis. And another cakey session, build your own worm bin. That sounds good. Matt Kirk is going to lead a Kauai Coyote Nature Mentoring Workshop. Matt Kirk is with the Kauai Nature School. There's a biointensive gardening with One Song Farm. Coconut basking weaving with Eugene Onio Punzao. And another cakey session is on Hawaii natural dyes. I understand that you are to have children dress in clothes that can get dirty. Probably that'd be good advice for everyone.
And cakey means children, in case people don't know that.
There's a workshop with Auntie Lorna Poe on emu cooking, as aquaponics with Yuli Miller from KCC.
Kauai Community College.
There's one on the Kauai Aina conservation efforts, again with Gordon Labette. And the final cakey session is on seed crafts and planting with Katie Cannon of the Youth and Food Programs Vista. So it's packed. There's a lot of stuff there. There's something for everyone.
There's something for everybody, and I'll be working a booth where we are giving away seeds and plants. It's not quite the full seed and plant exchange because we don't have the seed and plant review people there to make sure we're not spreading disease or invasives. We try and be really conscious when we're doing this. So that is Sunday, 9 o'clock, and you go up on Kahili Holo Road in Kalihiwai Ridge. It's about a half mile up the road, and it's on the left.
Doors open at 8:30 to start browsing the booths. And in addition to the workshops, there's also Keiki on the Farm's kids' activities. There's a clothing swap tent. There's the seed and plant giveaway. There's a free county compost bin distribution. There'll be vendor and information booths, music, food. There is an admission fee. And
but it's not much. You can't say what it is, but it's not much.
It's
you can't say.
No. Of course not. Did you think I was going to say?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, because this is community radio and the federal government.
I was going to address your qualification, your description of it being not much, and
okay.
I guess that's all relative.
Yeah, is it like a hamburger?
No.
Less than that? More than that?
More than that.
More than that. Okay, two hamburgers maybe.
No.
How many hamburgers?
Depends where you get them.
Okay. All right. You better call or look on malamakawai.org.
Yeah. Go to malamakawai.org.
So you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA. This is Felicia and Marshall, and we are standing in for Out of the Box. And Kaylin Kelly-Koma is my guest. And so, Kaylin, you know, with that thought about all this ways that we are learning important knowledge, you work on seed to market to table to kitchen cupboard. You know, you do it all. So tell us what you have to share.
Okay. With Master Food Preservers? Or
sure,
what I do at Waipaw?
You can start anywhere you want to start, but I definitely want to get to the Master Food Preservers.
Okay. So at Waipaw, I'm the Special Projects Manager. We all do a lot of different things. We're a nonprofit. Currently, I run our farmers market. I take care of our events. I facilitate the Poi Day. I answer emails, phone calls. I get to cook food. I get to work with kids. I get to weed whip once in a while. But whatever needs to be done.
And we've got this new commercial kitchen, and I want to say you are an awesome cook. When we go and help make poi on Thursdays, like that was today, I've got scratchy clothes because I've got poi juice all over me. That's what we make out of the kalo. How much did we make today? Maybe 1,200 pounds?
About 1,200 pounds of poi today.
And then that goes out like in a consumer-supported agriculture situation.
Well, it goes out to families around the island. Somehow they have a connection to Waipaw. And
so let's give them the connection. What number would they call if they wanted to have some? Oh, my.
They can call the phone at the office, 826-9969.
Okay, 826-9969 for
yes.
Waipaw.
But, we make poi on a weekly basis, and it's just to get fresh poi on the table for families all around the island. So the poi is, you know, right here on the North Shore. It's going out to Waimea, goes out to the families on Niihau. There's probably poi on the airplane going neighbor island. I think Auntie
yeah.
B said she was flying to Oahu tonight to go see her friend in Makaha, so...
It's
poi's heading out
there.
Yeah, it is.
And so for people who don't know, poi is what is made from the kalo. You see that growing all in Hanalei. Hanalei is the main kalo growing area of the whole state. We have a quick call that we're going to take, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about food preservation.
Cool.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Felicia. This is Fred calling from the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice, and I'd just like to make a community announcement about a great movie that we are going to be showing tomorrow night up there on the North Shore and then two other times around the island.
Okay, and I was going to bring that up towards the end of the show, but that is Where to Invade Next, Michael Moore's film that is mm-hmm. basically a big screen film. It's amazing that we have it to be shown in small venues. I'm going to be there tomorrow night at Halehalawai, Ohana Ohanalei, or also known as the Hanalei Community Center.
Right.
At 7 o'clock?
At 7 o'clock, yes.
And then where are the other two spots?
On April 28th, which is next Thursday, it will be at the Lihue Public Library on Hardy Street at 7 p.m. And then on the 30th, which is Saturday, April 30th, at 6:30 p.m., it will be at the Kaloa Neighborhood Center on Valley Road.
Perfect.
Rural Neighborhood Center, yeah.
Perfect. And so that is a humorous look with biting meaning of what we do as we push the dominant Western culture into all these different communities and the impact that it has.
Yes, it's an amazing film. I saw it about a week and a half ago, I guess, when we received it in the mail, and I have never cried much in movies before a few times, but it brought tears to my eyes more than once just because of the beauty of the things that Michael is presenting to us which a lot of us thought were gone, you know, forever and never. Just are never going to. We're never going to see those things again. All these different things that America has promised us from the beginning, and in some cases we've had, you know, and then where we're invading, where Michael is invading, is he's going to different countries around the world and showing us things that America has had at one time or was heading in those directions, and these other countries have made them happen, have brought these revolutionary ideas and groundbreaking and then reaffirming ideas about democracy and about sharing the wealth. And these countries that he takes us to are doing those things. And it's just heartbreaking in its beauty to see that these values and these things that we want for America and for everybody in the world are actually happening in the world, and people are, you know, flourishing and thriving doing these different things. And for instance, like healthcare and college education and a better democracy than we have, as witnessed by what happened to Bernie Sanders in Brooklyn the other day. Oh, God, I couldn't believe it. Thank you for mentioning that earlier. So anyway, it's a film that everybody in America really, really needs to see, and it'll open your eyes. I don't care what political party you are or how you feel, whether you're an anarchist or a capitalist or anything, you know, anything in between. You really need to see this movie. I think it's the best one he's ever made by far, and it's not anti-war or anything. It's not anti-anything. It's pro-beautiful things.
So, as I say, the happiness-to-bummer ratio is stronger in this one than maybe in some of the others. I've seen, Bowling for Columbine was the first one I saw that he did, and I was just stunned when I watched it. It really was a paradigm-shifting movie for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. So I will be there tomorrow night at Hanalei, Halehalevai, Ohana Ohanalei, kind of right near the soccer field, to see that at 7 o'clock.
On the way, right next to the Big Green Church, just on the way up towards KA Beach and such. It's on the same side of the street, just before you get to the
on the mountain
Green
side of the road, before the... And we're never allowed to say cost, but if you had no money at all, you would be able to see this film.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Felicia. Okay. It's a free film.
No, you can't say that. You can't say that? Okay.
Oh, I can't say that.
You can't use that. No, you can't use that word. Okay. All right.
Okay, well, we welcome donations, so thank you very much for announcing that.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. All right.
Great program. Thank you, Felicia. Keep up the great work.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. Kaylin. sort of funny. We have all these federal rules, so you can't say any price, including the word that starts with an FR. So, so I say, oh, okay, there's no, you could go if you didn't have any money, is the way I usually say it. So, speaking about this food preservation, master food preservation class, tell us about it.
Okay, so we had a class a couple years ago at WIPA, and we had Ken Love from Kona, who brought the Hawaii Master Food Preservers program to Hawaii. He took the class in California, University of California, Davis, and brought it to Hawaii and had been teaching it across the state. And in the meantime, he partnered with the University of Hawaii Hilo, CCECS, the College for Community Education and Community Service. And so there was a really good response for the Master Food Preserver course. And I was fortunate enough, Luisa Castro, the coordinator, called me and said, hey, can you come over to Hilo and teach a class? I'm like, okay, sure. And I just finished up my third class here in Kauai. I've taught a couple classes on Hawaii Island in Hilo and finished up here at Waipa. And that was a class that you were in. And I'm really glad that he took the class. I know I was kind of bugging you. I'm like, come on, Felicia, take the class. It's going to be fun. You'll learn a lot.
And, oh, my gosh, did I enjoy it. I loved it. I actually have a little bit of withdrawals that it's over. The classmates that we had in there were great. It was fun. And, you know, I saw some. I made a post on it. And actually, I think today or yesterday, and had on Facebook, and had a whole lot of good responses. And people have spoken about that you could look this stuff up on YouTube. And it's true, but the experience of really doing it is so good.
Oh, you can go on YouTube or you can Google it, but when you're in the kitchen and you're with other people and you're learning and cooking, that's where it's all happening. That's the chemistry. And one of the things with the food preserving, it's nothing new. Our parents did it. Our grandparents did it. My mom's sister, who's from Indiana, she would can about 300 jars every summer of vegetables to get them through the winter. And so it kind of got lost along the way, and we're just bringing that back to people. And one of the challenges that we have here in Hawaii is, because we're in the tropics,
year-round food.
Well, no. Year-round food. Oh, I forgot about having year-round food. Well, it's we want to be safe with what we're doing.
Right.
That's the important part. And things that Auntie might have done or Grandma may not be safe. And because we're in Hawaii, we have more bacteria. And so this is why you want to take the classes. So we have up-to-date information on how to do things, the canning properly. We don't want any failure of the seals and the lids. We want to make sure that it's properly done, that we're cooking items for the recommended amount of times, that we're doing a water bath, we're processing it for an even longer time. If you go on Google or in the old cookbooks, they'll tell you water bath your fruit for 5 minutes. But for Hawaii, we do 20 minutes, again, because we're prone to more bacteria.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia Marshall with Out of the Box. And Kaelin Kelikoma is our guest in here from Waipa Foundation, and he is an adjunct teacher for the UH programs, and we're talking about food preservation. So I will say that on one thing, since I took the class, it's changed my behavior almost to an uncomfortable level. Like, I am extra conscious of really making sure my counter's clean, that my sink's clean, that I've actually started using different cutting boards, and you know, I feel like I'm cooking kosher. But it's changed my habits already, and you know, I haven't died yet. But it helps you be really conscious about not having cross contamination of anything.
They're good habits, and it's having that awareness. You know, when we talk about going from farm to table, we want to make sure after we leave the farm that we clean up and wash our hands, and you know, get out of the farm uniform into clean clothes as we head into the kitchen to prepare things at the table.
Mm-hmm. And something that was really exciting with some of the other classmates, like Cindy Marvin, just throwing her a shout out. Oh my goodness, she's such a good cook, such a good chef, and she's so knowledgeable. It was like almost like having another teacher in the class. So she was learning this new material because even though she knows it from going to chef school, she learned a whole lot more. She said how valuable it was to her. And so we had people like that. I would say I was probably the least experienced of the lot. We had Farmer Jimmy.
We had Jimmy, and you know, I figured he knew he was doing it already.
Yeah.
And so when he did his project, like, okay, he's done this before, and I've had some email exchange. So he's already been canning, and he just wanted to be
sharper.
Yeah, you know, he wants to know what's current and make sure that he's doing best practice. So that was really, really good.
Right, and we had Robin in there. So if any of them are listening, I'm sending them out love. Like, Robin has a really great idea for doing value-added products.
She does. She wants to use the high-pressure canner, which causes fear in people because if you don't do it properly, it could get messy.
Yeah, I can get, oh, is it going to blow up? So the class helped me to not be afraid of the pressure cooker, pressure canner. But Joey, Cindy, Robin all had some ideas of business and value-added products because we recently had the Office of Economic Development in here. It's like, how do we have righteous business here? How do we grow and make our crops have extra amount available for them? How do we save it? How do we create it? And I know you're part of doing some like Lily Koi butter and different things at the farmers markets that are even sold that are great.
I've been practicing making jams and jelly, and actually in the class when you had that jar of jelly there, I'm looking at it like, that's my handwriting, and I forgot that I worked with your Akamai Learning Kids, and it was that jar of Surinam
jelly.
Yeah.
And that Surinam cherries came right out of my yard. And when I had my school that was down there at Waipa, and my kids took a class from Kayla, not like I've been doing math with some kids, and some other kids are off making jelly and preservatives with you and hunting with somebody else and fishing with somebody else. I was always a little jealous that I didn't get to be in that class. And what was really evident with that group of kids, they were so excited to go. They had so much fun. And you're funny, by the way.
Well, thanks.
I probably shouldn't set you up for that because then people go, well, he's not the complete stand-up comedian. But you kind of are, so it makes it really entertaining. It was just such a warm experience in there. And but it helped me to really think about all the different ways of being. Like, I have so much abundance just in my yard and my little one-third of an acre house site. So it's probably, you know, one-ninth of an acre that's actually under cultivation. I have so much food that is just all over my counters, trying to give it away, sharing it out. And this is another way to be able to be holding on to the food and doing things like canning fish and chicken.
So, yeah, that's, you know, again, using that high-pressure canner, you know, we don't think of, wait, we can make our own tuna? Yes, of course you can. And in the class, we had the aku. And so we ended up canning that, and we opened it up. How did it taste, Felicia?
It was so yummy. It was really, really good. Way better than what you would get in something that you would buy. And so, like, if people have fishermen in their lives, we made sausage. We did all kinds of things. We dehydrated food. But, like, with the canned fish, you know, this is really very good for preparedness. It's good for not putting stuff in our dump. It's good for the planet. It's anything we can do locally. It's good for everybody. Great Christmas gifts you could have, you know, so much stuff.
That's the cool thing, too, is if you can do that, if you have things in your yard and you can make something and give that to your family and friends for whatever the occasion, that is super maikai. That is good because, you know, you're making something that's coming from your heart. And my experience, and I had this auntie, and this is my little story about jams and jelly. And I didn't appreciate it at the time, but Mrs. Nakamura, she's this really nice lady. She and her family lived down in Aliumanu by the river. And every year they would go up to Kokei and get the plums. They would harvest. And she always gave her family a jar of Kokei plum. And I never realized how much work went into that until I started doing it myself. It's like, oh my gosh, this is really special. So when you can share that with someone, you know, you're really giving a part of yourself.
And it's as easy to make a lot as it is to make a little. So you might as well make a lot.
Oh, you might as well, yeah. You know, 10 o'clock at night, you can't sleep. You might as well make, you know, three or four dozen jars of jelly.
Yeah. And again, I'm flashing on our different classmates that were in there. I want to give a shout-out to Rochelle, who works with the Department of Health. And she was filled with so much information and I liked what she had to share about stalling for a second. When like the kombucha and the June, what's that called? Like we did kimchi when it's fermented.
Oh, fermentation,
food.
Yeah.
Fermentation and probiotics. Speak to that a little bit.
It's kind of funny because the fermentation part of the course doesn't happen until about the fourth or fifth day. So I moved it to the first day because fermentation doesn't happen overnight. And so we were doing sauerkraut, and we weren't getting the results that we wanted. So like, okay, we'll just kind of localize it. Let's do kimchi. So we did the kimchi, and that turned out really good. Have you been working on your jar?
Yes, I've been working on my jar. And that food came out really well, and then we are learning about why it's so important to eat that way.
So, yeah, you know, it's kind of like going back to the poi, right? When the poi is sour, that's when it's good for you, when it has little probiotics in it. So same thing with the kimchi. And then the other thing, we made the jun, you know.
Which I'd never even heard of it before. That's like kombucha with honey instead of sugar.
It's using honey instead of sugar and green tea instead of black tea. And so over in Hilo, they were talking about the kombucha and everything. So asked my friend Elise, and she makes it, and like, hey, can we do this? She's like, sure. And so she had the mothers. We brought the mothers. Two on the first day we started it. So we had 2 gallons going, And at the end of the course, at the 3 weeks, we were able to share the mothers. Everybody got some to take home. They got their SCOBY to start their own Jun.
And now I have two jars of that. And that's something that's, again, a little bit of a chasm for me to jump, or not a chasm, a little tiny ditch, because I'm not used to, you know, drinking that, but it's good for your body, right? That's probiotics, which is the opposite of antibiotics. Instead of, like, killing bacteria in your system, you are building bacteria in your system, wanted bacteria. And so it would be probably extra good for people who are on antibiotics or just got done with antibiotics. It's like yogurt has it. A lot of different things have that.
I think anytime you can add those kind of things to your diet, it'll only benefit you.
Yeah, and I want to also mention Margie, who she made really good. Did you try it? Well, we tried it in class.
The mole.
The mole.
I can't. She gave me a jar, a big jar. I don't know where I put it.
Uh-oh. We'll have to get you some. It is very good. I made some chicken mole the other day, even with it. And so we learn about cultural history and how, because she has some Latin blood in her, and that's something that's been passed down in her family. And so there's all kinds of ways of being able to perpetuate the culture, to make things interesting. There's a tremendous amount of stuff. Hey, Marshall, we've had a few calls. Did anybody want to be sharing something with us?
No, sorry. Those folks got the wrong size T-shirt last time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's people. When people do call in with a donation, even if you do it online, we give you a little bit of KKCR swag so that you know how much we love you and appreciate when people do that donating. So, what classes do you have coming up? I want to acknowledge, we can't talk about price, but that the price for that class was of such screaming value, because every day that we went to class, we ate a beautiful little feast there, right? All that food was really good. But what we brought home in terms of books and stuff that we made, and when I sit there and I just try and do the math on bringing Louisa, who was wonderful, over from Hilo and everything that we did, well, it certainly had to cost a whole lot more than the collective of our classes.
The cost varies, and it all depends. And there was a private funder that wanted this class done here on Kauai and on Hilo. And so, again, the price goes up and down, but you end up with a wealth of information. I mean, on day two, you can go home and start canning. We get you to that point. You have some really good cookbooks, great resources. There's the Ball canning book. There's another book that comes out of the University of Georgia. And these are all proven recipes. And again, you can find things on the internet. You can make stuff up. But you can trust in these recipes. When they tell you to take your chicken and cook it at 10 PSI for 100 minutes, that means
10 pounds per square inch. And so let me share something that I learned, that when canning happens, when you have a pressure canner, which is like a pressure cooker that's meant for canning, that pressure is kind of like when you think of the altitude, it's like bringing us lower in altitude so that the boiling point of the water is even hotter than 212. So that the reason you use the pressure canner is because it brings the internal temperature up to like 250 degrees or 240 degrees.
It goes up to 250, and again, to kill those bacteria, to kill the spores, to make the food safe for eating. That's the whole thing about canning, is preserving food and doing it safely.
And it was really a lot of fun being in Waipa's brand new commercial kitchen, because it was easy to really be sterilizing everything before including all the surfaces, and we got that nice big dishwasher thing that you just stick it in, and 3 minutes later, voila, magic, it's all cleaned up, and even the little faucet that goes right over the stove. So that kitchen is available for rent now?
So the Waipa is a certified community kitchen. We just came online with it. I have a few kitchen users that are starting to use the facility. It's a beautiful facility. It's all nice and shiny right now. And, you know, when we were in there doing our class, Felicia, you know, we're wearing aprons, we're wearing our Crocs, we're looking the part, and, you know, we're creating, and it's just, it's a really nice environment to be in. But it is available. You can go, let's see, you can call our office. Here's the phone number again, 826-9969. Or you can just stop by the WIPAW office and pick up an application or information about the WIPAW Certified Community Kitchen.
And for those of you who don't know, WIPAW is on the far west side of Hanalei Bay. So you would go through the town, and it's just a little bit past on the left, and it's where the farmer's market is on Tuesday afternoons. And you run the farmer's market, is that right?
Yes, so farmer's market is Tuesdays at 2. Actually, okay, the signs say 2 o'clock, but we actually open at 1:30. So now you guys know, market opens at 1:30. And we have about, 30 to 36 vendors, mostly farmers, a few value-added folks in there with a couple of art people thrown in. I like it. I think it's a fun market.
It's a fun market, and I want to thank all the people who have made donations to WIPAW at the Mango Festivals and the Kalo Festivals. People have come out and really come together to make donations to help this kitchen happen. It took years to actually raise the money to do it.
Oh, this kitchen's been like 20 years in the making, and actually, when I started working at WIPAW about 7 years ago, they brought me on to manage the kitchen, and you know, it's 2016, and it's open, finally.
And, it's not that easy to get them. There's one in Kilauea at the North Shore Christian Church. Kilauea North Shore Christian Church, they have a kitchen that can be utilized. But with all these laws that are there, I'm waxing to politics for a second here. When we look at things like the Food Safety Modernization Act that makes farming and nature almost illegal, like the Food Safety Modernization Act, that really is for big, huge commercial mechanized farms, a lot less just people. And then the health department things is, you know, doesn't really foster cottage industry. The amount of investment that it takes to be able to be a food producer is prohibitive. So we don't really have that. So when there is a local place like WIPAW that is now offering a commercial kitchen for people to be able to be drying their fish or be... do you have a baking area in there? Can people bake breads in there?
We've got an awesome double oven in there. There's a Hobart mixer, so yes, you can do breads in there.
Yeah, because those are some of the impediments that being able to really be food self-sufficient. I sometimes bring up this... cassava tortillas. I want to do that with you sometime, Kaylin, because I think that we need to do that. They're so good, and I actually like them better than the flour ones.
That could be a great staple-type source of food. Mm-hmm. So the kitchen is called Lau Kupu?
The kitchen is called Lau Kupu. Did you just Google it?
Or you went on the website? I'm looking at your website. Yeah, actually, it's whitepawfoundation.org, and there's the kitchen is right there on the homepage.
So yeah, Lau Kupu comes a story that comes at, of a plant that it's abundant and keeps giving food. So it's kind of fitting. And Kami Aloha Haku gave us the name for that kitchen.
Oh, okay.
So he's the one that named Kianolani Hale. Also that Akamai Learning was in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's really wonderful. And WIPAW does so many good things for young people. I know that the sign-up is already happening for the summer program.
Are we in May?
April.
In May, I believe, they people can inquire.
Okay. And then it's usually fall. It's
very full.
Very full, and so lots of learning opportunities. There's been so many really good programs that are there. Everyone from Keiki to Kupuna, and I was really fortunate to have my Akamai Learning School there 1 year. And I want to give a shout out to the Laulima program, where people, it's mostly teenagers, they get paid internships. There's different types. I know it comes and goes with different grants. Again, a thank you to whoever granted that class that I took. But we've had just many, many wonderful people in there, and it's been a big part of our community. And in this moment, I would like to just honor somebody who has been a part of our program. That was Devin Fitzpatrick. He was one of the WIPA boys.
He's one of the Limahana boys.
Limahana boys, yeah. And so he is a new member in our chorus of Young Angels from Kilauea. It's really tough. He passed away this past weekend, and I have known his parents, Holly and Sean, since, you know, really before he was born, before they met each other. And he is, there's three brothers, Devin, Danny, and Pono, and a lot of great young men that worked with him there at WIPA, his posse, Chance and Matt and
Torin, Gergs.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are really, really feeling it right now with his going away. And so I want to take a moment to have a song for Devin. mahalo, and just sending out love to you, Holly, Sean, Danny, Pono, and just mahalo ke akua for the beautiful, beautiful life of Devin Fitzpatrick. 23 years old, prime of life, definitely emerging into adulthood, tends to be a little bit of a fragile time. And in Kilauea, we've lost way too many people right at that age. But we love you, and we love everybody who it might be feeling it. And I've seen the tears on the side of the road there. And so to all you young men that are out there maintaining those flowers, know that the whole community cares about you. Please drive safely. And a lot of gratitude to to God, mahalo ke akua, that the other person involved in the accident will be out of the hospital soon. Woman from Hanalei, and I still have not learned who that is. Marshall, you said you had a question from a caller?
Yes, a caller would like to ask if there's any chance of moving away from getting the poi in plastic bags.
Okay, that's...
Oh,
just the packaging.
That's, you know, I know this one uncle, he puts his poi in cloth bags that he gives to his family and friends. We haven't reached that point yet.
Right.
But actually, that's a good one.
How about the little tubs, like the Hanalei poi?
It's still plastic. Oh, you mean because they're recyclable?
They're recyclable, reusable, and maybe not as messy.
Mm. Oh, I know what they're saying. You know, when you pull it out of the bag, it's all stuck to the inside of the bag, maybe.
No, you just turn the bag inside out and, you know, suck the bag.
The bag.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
All right.
No, but actually, that's a good one. Thanks for mentioning that.
Sure.
So what do you have on the horizon? You know, and are you going to do this in any other parts of the island? I mean, Waipa isn't, you know, the easiest thing for somebody from Kekaha to show up there. And
it's a long drive, and they've got to cross all the bridges. So we would love to have this class in Lihue or on the west side. And so I have someone who's looking for a possible facility over in Waimea. So I'm hoping that we can bring that Master Food Preservers course to the west side.
And how about, you know, because we sit there and we talk about hurricane preparedness and all of that. You know, glass jars. I like glass jars. I'm trying to really move away from plastic, but glass jars probably aren't the easiest things to just stick in your backpack.
No, they're really pretty, and it's kind of funny, you know, living out here on the North Shore down in the valley. And I've evacuated a couple times over the years. And on one of the evacuations, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take my food with me. And glass is heavy. And so I had two 54 quart coolers full of, you know, canned goods, I mean, in jars. And it was heavy. So it's not the most mobile. But it was just really hilarious. Like, okay, I have to go. I have to make sure I have food. And it did weigh me down, but I had it in coolers in the back of the truck.
Well, we did learn about dehydrating food. And certainly you can dry fish. You can dry meats. You can dry almost anything. And then it's really light. It drops by maybe 75%. The moisture content?
Oh, definitely. And, I mean, we did the bananas. But, you know, the thing is, when you have a bag of bananas, you can't stop eating, you know?
Yeah, I know. I can eat, like, a whole hand of bananas in 5 minutes. Is that bad for you?
Maybe five hands.
Okay. So, do you have... We're going to be at the top of the hour, and we are going to hear from our supporters, but any last thoughts on the food preservation?
I encourage folks to check it out. Again, you can call our office or I'm trying to think where else they can find the information.
There's the website.
Actually, can I give my email on the radio?
Yes, absolutely. You can give your phone number. You can give anything you want.
Okay. Well, my email, if you'd like more information or just so that I have your contact information, you may email me. It's kahaki'i, kahakii at msn.com. So if you're interested in the class or would like to find out more about it, what's going on, shoot me an email so that I have that information. We're also looking, I'm working with Louisa, again, from UH Hilo, possibly doing like a one-day course, maybe like a 3 or 4 hour course just on jams and jellies, maybe another course just on pickling and fermentation. So, you know, if the whole course is, it's 8 days where you learn the whole thing and become a master food preserver. But we are looking at possible one-day workshops.
Okay, and I just have to say, so much fun. Thank you, Kaylin. That was so wonderful, the class. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. When we come back from break, we're going to be hearing from some of our friends with the Kauai Lifeguard Association. So Out of the Box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Hawaii Life, Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at hawaiicompassionatecare.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Aloha, KKCR Ohana. Kauai Community Radio is constantly evolving. In January, we will begin the 2016 KKCR Strategic Plan, and you are invited. In a series of public meetings, group discussions, collaborative workshops, and awesome station parties, we will review and rededicate ourselves to the future of Kauai Community Radio. Please get involved in the future of your radio station by emailing strategicplan@kkcr.org and stay tuned for more updates about the KKCR Strategic Plan, and mahalo for your participation.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. So we have got some new friends in the room here right now. Andy Melamed, let's hear if you're mic'd up.
Testing 1, 2.
There he is. 3, 4. And Dickie Chang.
Hello, Felicia.
Hello. So, and then pretty soon we're going to be having Chris Pico is going to be joining us coming from the beach. Right? He's a lifeguard, and he's out there keeping people safe right now.
Always.
So why don't you give us a little bit of an intro about what's going on with this Kauai Lifeguard Association fourth wave celebration?
Well, first of all, the Kauai Lifeguard Association has been in existence for about 19 years. And it was first started to basically raise money for the junior lifeguard program, which for the past 12 years has won the state championships. In fact, that program has grown to the point where at about 12 years ago, there were 76 kids involved. Now we've got 500 kids around the island in a keiki program as well as a junior program. So the Kauai Lifeguard Association first started out along those lines, and as it continued to grow and gain steam and acceptance in the community, basically President Monty Downs, Kalani Vieira, Randy Ortiz, a whole bunch of the ocean safety-minded folks came together. And about 5 years ago, I joined forces with them and created wave campaigns. The first one was to raise money for jet skis and ATVs for the 10 lifeguard towers. We've done a second wave that provided worked with the Rotaries for ocean safety videos that were shown basically around the whole island at the various resorts as well as at the airport. And at the same time, support rescue tubes, the surf programs that happen on Kauai, the swim clubs, et cetera. The third wave raised money to really raise money to get a hands-on approach for the lifeguards. The problem with that we find at the beach is you can have as many brochures, you can have as many informational messages on radio, TV, newspaper, but when a visitor comes, especially the visitor comes and comes down to the shoreline, you still need to be on site there. So we've been telling people to come to the lifeguarded beaches, and we provided in this past year on the third wave money for solar powered PA systems as well as megaphones for every lifeguard tower. The fourth wave is a little different. What we're trying to do with the fourth wave is focus on unguarded beaches, because an exceptional amount of rescues as well as drownings this year took place at unguarded beaches, from shipwrecks and Queen's Bath, with a lot of rescues at Lumahai and Anini. A lot of activity this year because it was an El Nino year. But even if you don't have big waves, there's a lot of people that do get in trouble because of the changing tides and the currents and the oncoming swells. So this fourth wave is meant to get, and we spoke with the mayor first, Dickie Chang, who's with me, as well as Monty Downs, Chief Westerman, Kalani Vieira, in putting together with the mayor a roving ski service. Three different roving ski services that would be consisting of a four-wheel drive truck, a trailer, a jet ski, a paddleboard, a first aid kit, and a megaphone. These guys would be leaving from either Poipu, Hanalei, or
east side probably,
Kailia, and go to unguarded beaches throughout the day. And while this is going on, they would be instructing people to get away because the tide's coming up, or if there's nobody, say, let's say at Lumahai on a particular day, but there's a lot of people at Anini, they will be roving around. And it'll be the veteran lifeguards that do so. So the county agreed to come up with money for six additional part-time lifeguards, while the Kauai Lifeguard Association, aside from supporting a lot of programs within the community, promised to come up with some money to support the equipment for these, hence the fourth wave. That's a long explanation for the question that you asked.
Well, I think it's a good explanation. I'm looking over here at Dickie Chang because he has been very involved with the county, and you were a county councilman for quite some time, and sometimes I think maybe might be again. I don't know. But you understand what it is to do the budgeting and the county funding. I'm presuming that you've been paying attention, and that where he's nodding his head. This is radio. You have to say, yeah, he's Vala'au too, so I know that he knows about this stuff. But so he's nodding his head. There is a lot of concern. When I'm thinking, Andy, when you might get what might be stumbling blocks in the road for this really important thing is the idea of bringing these lifeguards on, they're going to be going forward in the future. So when they're going to be funding it. So, Dickie, what do you think in terms of the county budget?
Well, first of all, the mayor put in a request for $103,000. It still has not yet been approved by the council. As you know, they finished their first reading, second reading. I believe they reconvened for decision-making come May 12th. And as you know, every department is asking for money. And there is no money. So the question is, where do you find that money? I'm tagging along with this because I've been along with the ride for Andy, and Andy is extremely passionate. He's been a waterman on Kauai for over 40 years, and I figure if I can help him out on the marketing end, on the PR end, the fact of the matter is if everything goes the way we plan to go, the money's raised will pretty much match the $103,000. Now, you're probably saying, looking down the road, how does that get into the budget for like next year, the year thereafter, the year thereafter, the year thereafter? Obviously, and I don't know, there may be a fifth wave. So we'll see where it comes. But at this particular point, public safety is really a huge part of what Kauai is all about. I mean, when you think about wants versus needs, you know, one of the things that Andy brought up, we encourage swimming at lifeguarded beaches, but everybody wants to be at that quote-unquote secluded beach. So when you do roving patrols, you're doing roving patrols, you know, at Mahulepu. Of course, Shipwreck is always busy. But you go down the coast, you know, before you get down to Salt Pond, for example, there's these little pockets in LA or, you know, Opihi Pickers or anybody else within this area that and I might point out that a lot of people, sadly, they don't know their physical abilities and they're not in the best of shape or the best of health, and they go in the water very unassumingly. But please keep in mind, it doesn't have to be Kailua with surf. You know, we've had people sadly drown in front of the Plantation Hale
or Waiohae.
You know,
yeah, the Waiohae. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, what I used to have a surf shop, and I would put right underneath the counter. People go, "Oh, you know, you're such a bummer," but I would have the drowning statistics. It typically was men in their prime, and that I'm calling like 18 to maybe 40 people in their physical prime. So sometimes it is overconfidence. And I had it, you know, it was broken down by visitors, which is more of them, but also, you know, local people, people born and raised here, still yet they go out and they're fishing in the wrong environment, or they're, you know, there's other challenges. But people really can't ever underestimate the power of the ocean. I wasn't born here. I've been here a long time, but I grew up in Arizona, doesn't have a lot of water. And it takes a lot to learn that the ocean isn't a very big pool. I'm giving a shout out to Bob Caden, David Sproat, Wendell Gu, and Butchie Victorino for saving my life before when I went out to try and save somebody's life. I was out at sea. I couldn't even see the island anymore. It's intense. And so it can be whether it's newcomers or certainly visitors seem to be the biggest issue. But no matter who it is, I think we all suffer when somebody drowns. It's like not being a good host when somebody drowns.
Correct. And I don't know if it is documented, but it had been mentioned that, you know, upteen time Olympic swimming, Mark Spitz in our days, he got rescued in the ocean. And I think Andy really loves him when I talk sports. Because this is the only sport that there's no timeout or, you know what I mean?
Right, just
you're dealing with Mother Nature. When you're trying to fight the current, which we've all done, or you're afraid or you're scared, I mean, that power that you give to get up for air, 2 or 3 seconds is like you're in a MMA fighting match. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right.
You're trying to get up for the air. And so
there's one thing I'd like to bring up here. And that's that the Kauai Lifeguard Association, in conjunction with the Ocean Safety Bureau, our goal is to create an ocean-minded awareness for the entire island. This island is small enough where we can make a difference. In contrast to other islands in our chain, we are more active in our oceans. We're blessed living here for a variety of different reasons, especially the beaches and the ocean and the surroundings, and we appreciate that. It is our home, and we've opened our home to others. But at the same time, it's a very dangerous home.
And the Pacific Ocean is misnamed. It is not passive.
And at the same time, I mean, just the family, and I'm not pointing one out in particular, but the family that went down to Queen's Bath a few months ago.
Mm, a 28-year-old man who passed away, leaving a three-year-old child.
I was with Chris Pico that day at Hanalei Pavilion. We were watching King's Reef break top to bottom, spitting. That's an 80-foot face. I lived on Veke Road for close to 45 years.
In Hanalei.
And yes, and I watch that ocean every day. And I've only seen it break that way at the very most 10 times. Okay. Three sets within an hour came around between 9 and 10 o'clock. This couple with their first child had a very unfortunate scenario. The beach, it shouldn't have been open. They shouldn't have been down there. It happened. They're enjoying themselves. They saved. They came here to Kauai to experience something together. Just imagine this lady with her son flying back on a plane with no body, nothing.
Right. And in that particular case, I have a number of friends who live right there. And how that she was crying and crying and crying on the empty field that's right up above there. It was hard for everybody, and what did get posted all over, because you could tell the angst that residents feel, is all the signs that were there on that. I'm not giving them slams at all, but they had skull and crossbones, tick marks of how many people have died there, and you know, broken surfboards.
Felicia,
with everything.
That's why I say it doesn't matter how many brochures, TV, newspaper, radio you say, even a concierge, it still needs to be face on. That's why we raised money for megaphones and solar paneled PA, so that the lifeguards can communicate in mass at the beach, first person. That's the way that's what I'm calling it. If we have these roving patrols, they will be there, not in a jet ski, but they can be parked there, telling people not to go. Not the full 8 hour shift, but they will be there at a key time. They may go somewhere else, too. We can't afford to have lifeguard towers around the entire island. It costs $400,000 a year to man one and to take care of it. But to have – now, 20% of the lifeguards on Oahu are roving patrols.
I didn't know that.
We need to do that here. And the mayor understands that. He put it in the budget, and we're hopeful and confident that the county council will see it also. But getting back to my ocean-minded community, the Kauai Lifeguard Association, what we try to do is not just one little theme or program. We support the Junior and Keiki Lifeguard Program. This year we're going to be running 10 different newspaper ads that include interviews on radio and TV, as well as on our website, about each lifeguard tower. And we're going to personify and personalize the lifeguards so that they're not just a tower that you drive by. But they're actual people, and they've got equipment, and we're going to focus on each one of those, and so that you actually get a feel for who they are. Three or four different parents came up to me in the past 3 or 4 weeks and said, "My kids want to grow up to be lifeguards. It used to be they wanted to be police or firemen. Now they want to be lifeguards, and it's because of what we've done here." So if we can reinforce the rescue tubes, if we can reinforce how to use those rescue tubes, if we can reinforce and show people where the lifeguard towers are and who the lifeguards are, and if we can also support the programs with the not just the Junior and Keiki Lifeguard, but also seminars in various parts of the island that talk with the concierge and the timeshare brokers and things like that, and ask them what you need to communicate to a person when they are first checking in, because first impression is the most important. And if we can provide a resource that way, then we are an ocean-minded community that works continuously, and Monty Downs calls it the multiplier effect, so that when we did this lunch on ocean safety at Gaylord's about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, while we were having that lunch, not a lifeguard, but a guy that's quite familiar with the ocean that associates himself with us, saved 4 people at shipwrecks while we were having a lunch on ocean safety.
Oh, while that was happening.
Yeah, while we were having a lunch.
You want to give his name? Why not?
Tyler McGee.
Tyler McGee. Mahalo, Tyler McGee, local hero.
Yeah.
We have a lot of local heroes.
Exactly.
And I want to give a shout out to the local heroes, the two men who started to do those tubes, the rescue tubes. You know,
right.
That was resisted for
Branch.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
And you know, that has made a really big difference. And then, you know, what I like about really honoring the different lifeguards that are in different places like you're suggesting. Chris Pico, who should be coming in here anytime soon, we're keeping an eye out for him. I've known him since he was a little boy. He was part of our surf team. He's definitely part of our community. And when people make bad choices and they go out, they still, you know, put our own beloved family members at risk, because going out there, whether it's the firemen are out there helping a lot too. A lot of times they're the ones who are bringing in the bodies. But the firemen and the lifeguards, they're out in really dangerous surf. When the young man that you spoke about got washed off at Queen's Bath in Princeville, I saw the helicopter going up and down, really almost in the front of the wave. I was thinking, is it filming? It looks like our county helicopter. Yeah. That's dangerous for the helicopter man, so it puts everybody at risk.
That's the sad part, because when somebody has to make the decision to call the rescue off and it becomes a recovery, and when you don't find the body, you know, there's so much unrecorded, you know, people save people. The lifeguards were just testing it out and figured, let's go cruise by Anini. And then there's that little channel, and they ended up rescuing four people. Had they not been there, these four guys would have got swept out. I mean, it's incredible that what we hear every day, and, you know, like you mentioned, the police, the firefighters, I mean, Kauai Hospice, I mean, God bless Monty Downs. I mean,
yes, from the emergency room, the doctor.
Everybody feels, and when you come on a vacation, you want to know where Waimea Canyon is, or the Wailua River, or Hanalei Bay. You're not trying to find the mortuary that your loved one is being, you know, sheltered in, if you will. So there's some really heavy-duty stories, and if it can be prevented. You know, you mentioned a little bit about the tubes. We have way over 200 tubes right now, and God bless. Most people respect the tubes. I mean, there may be a few that's taken here or there, but I think for most part, the local people know, and everybody knows, this is not a toy. It's a rescue device. And the classic story goes when a young 16-year-old boy was enthralled about looking at the water safety video at the airport, and you probably know about this, he saved his father at Larson's because he watched what was going on, saw the tube, identified the tube, swam out to his dad and saved the dad's life.
We actually talked about that on this show, because that is such a wonderful story, and I would love to see that video be on the plane.
The problem with being on the plane, we have tried that for years. The problem is if you're talking Outer Island, for example, the plane comes to Kauai and you can sync up the plane. I mean, you can sync up the tape. However, from there, it might go to Maui and what have you. That's the same reason being is if you're crossing the water, you might be able to, you know, you might be able to play it before you land. But the fact of the matter is it's already in a rotation, so you're already going to another destination, and that tape is, quote unquote, stuck in there. So, you know, they might be flying into Kauai, which is great, but when they leave, they might go to San Francisco, L.A., and there's logical reasons and sadly why.
Okay, and you're seeing that, like, the look on my face. I think that's something they could figure out, you know. I mean, and even if they watch it somewhere else, they can go, oh, okay, we should go to Hawaii, but we should go there safely.
You know, and a lot of people do get warned, and you hear all the time about some people resisting, like, you know, they said, oh, I can get them, or I get them, or, you know, that people don't understand that swimming muscles are totally different, and fear in the water is totally different when, you know, you're one-on-one and nobody's there to help.
Yeah, the main thing is don't panic, stay afloat, keep breathing, and stay away from the rocky shorelines. Don't get pushed onto that.
So what we're trying to do with this fourth wave is a continuous barrage of awareness. And we're kicking off the Junior Lifeguard and Keiki Lifeguard Program with signups in May, which begins in June. We'll be focusing on special rescue tube videos on how to use them, with maps on where to find them, but also new ways to use them. And we're going to show that on our new website, KauaiLifeguards.org. We're going to have the wave seminars. We're going to feature the lifeguard towers. On top of all of that, how we raise the money for the roving patrol and continue with these programs is a fourth wave campaign, where we have, and this will be our fourth celebration, and we do them in October because timing-wise, that's right before, you know, the big surf hits. And so this one is going to be at the Kauai Marriott. And we've done two at Kilohana. We've done one at the Kauai Beach Resort. And then this one is going to be at the Kauai Marriott. It's October 22nd. In 1 week's time, I sold 33 tables. So we've got 72 tables that are going to be generating money.
You can't mention the price. You cannot, but go ahead.
I didn't.
No, I know. I'm just telling you ahead of time.
But we've got, basically we're asking, why we're here is not just call awareness to the KLA, but the fact that we need support from the North Shore. And whether it's a donation to bring a lifeguard to the party that we're doing, or whether it's a donation online for one of the programs, or to buy a table, all you've got to do is go to KauaiLifeguards.org.
So the whole island is listening. Thank you, Kauai. And so anybody can help and support, but you're giving a special kahea out to the North Shore.
We're getting a lot of support from the rest of the island.
Okay, so represent. You know, anyway, we need the North Shore to represent. We have the gnarliest waves. We have
the most visitor concentration going to the beach without really a lot of guidance, because there's a lot of bed and breakfast and timeshare and vacation rentals where folks are just I was surrounded by vacation rentals on Veke Road for about
it's
5 years.
It's a motel. We know that.
Yeah, and when they wake up, they're just ready to go because, you know, they're stoked to be here. It's not up to us to take care of them. But at the same time, it is our home, and we've opened our home to them. And we just really need to look after each other.
Right. We need to look after each other. And I know that the North Shore has, I think, I think like Anahola or Moloa anyway to Haena, it's less than 6,000 people. So out of 70... thousand, we are a minority up here, so maybe when you get a little bit less support from this side, that might be part of it. But North Shore, come to the table.
Thanks, Felicia. What I wanted to say is, you know, when everybody does fundraisers, and it's such a small island, everybody or the most people get tapped once, twice, three times, a dozen times.
Right.
What we're actually reaching out for are some of the people we may or may not know. You know, some people that said, hey, man, how can I contribute? Visitor Industry Charity Walk, United Way, some of them have passion, because very rarely do you have people that are saved that come back and say thank you or say, oh, my goodness, I wish I could have donated. Because in a lot of cases when they get saved, I don't want to call it embarrassment. Maybe they don't know, but they get out of the water and they're out of here. You know, people just don't know how to say mahalo, or they can be in shock. But some people have been saved, and if at that point they have that, you know, you made mention to your Bob Cadens and the David Sproats of the world.
I remember it forever. I look at my children, they wouldn't exist if it wasn't for this team of the people in the fire department.
So that's just the reach out. If somebody says, hey, anonymous donor, like Andy said, if they want to sponsor one of the lifeguards, we want to bring the lifeguards to be honored, you know, to treat them like the quiet heroes that they are. So any contribution will help out. And as mentioned, for those that are just joining us here on the radio, the reason to raise the funds, I mean, that would be really cool, because we're asking for funds from the county. But if it's coming from the fourth wave that's matching the funds that are being asked, I think that's just...
It's tremendous. It's tremendous that makes a difference. May 11th is the county council meeting that would be appropriate if people want to show and speak up and speak out. That's like a really excellent time. Of course, they could always email at counciltestimonies@kauai.gov and in the subject line putting support for the roving lifeguards. That would be something that they could send out. And speaking of lifeguards, as you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, this is Felicia on Out of the Box, and we are talking. Oh, somebody's got a question, so we're going to let that happen. Marshall's going to share this question, and then we're going to hear from Chris Pico.
We had a caller who wanted to bring a couple of questions. One is about the online travel companies, the multi-billion dollar companies with online apps that
are sending people here?
Are sending people here, making a lot of money from our visitor industry, but paying no taxes. You wanted us just to address that issue, see
good
if there
point.
Weren't some way to actually to get revenue from them, and also to point out that it would be great if they would give safety warnings in the business that they're doing. And the second issue we wanted to bring up was pay scale and benefits for lifeguards, where they shouldn't be equivalent to those of firefighters and police.
Okay, well, and those are big points. I want to give Chris a chance to speak for a moment, and I will say on that, as I'm looking at Andy from KLA, who's very good at this, you or somebody do a Google search and get these names of these things and just call them up and tell them. And it also could be that video that is put on the airport, that can be offered as a link onto these different travel channels, and that'd be excellent. Chris, hi, mahalo for everything that you do for this community. I already told the listener that I've known you since you were a little boy, and I mahalo you for many things, and I'm asking swimmers to not make rough choices so they don't put you at risk. But you've been doing some life-saving recently. Do you want to tell us what any of that feels like?
It's pretty tremendous. You know what we're doing out there. A lot of the guys this past winter, you know, island wide are performing pretty outstanding. Definitely a busy winter, probably the busiest winter we've had in a long time for sure. There was just a lot of back to back big surf. You know, a lot of the rescues that we had, the people weren't even swimming. You know, they're waiting, walking the beach.
Right, you get washed right off the beach.
Yeah. You know, and those were at unguarded beaches. So, you know, a lot of what we do is just education and prevention. Some of the rescues that we did, people had no idea about the conditions. There was a case at Anini. These four people got in trouble, you know, and their surf was really big. They were really apologetic, you know, for the situation that they were in, putting us there. But after talking with them, they had no idea, like, the conditions or that they were actually there, you know, there was a danger there, you know, after explaining to them, you know, what the rip current looks like and just typical day-to-day stuff that all the island guys do. It was pretty cool for them to walk away from that knowing, you know, how to spot a rip current and just, you know, leaving with that.
I know in my Akamai learning program, and when we were at Waipa, we spent a month on ocean safety because there's so much water area in Waipa, and the ocean right there is kind of like part of the recess area. At lunch, I want to make sure that these kids were very, very conscious of it. I know that, like, in having had a surf shop, we would make a big effort to really educate these renters, and that's an important thing. But I might also suggest that some of that film work possibly could be on given to the rental places, so they could have that running on the TV behind them. You know, that might be a good possibility too. Chris, I know that you've pulled in a number of people. You don't want to brag, but I want to ask, how many do you think you've pulled in? Or have you just lost count?
I really don't know. We don't really think of too much about that, you know.
Okay, well, how does it feel when you're out there? Are you confident? Are you ever worried about your own safety?
You know, a lot of what we do, you just try not to overthink it. You know, tackle one problem or situation at a time. You know, it's easy to get overwhelmed in life in general. You know, if you overthink things, that's probably the worst thing you can do. So we just try and hit it with, you know, one thing at a time, and don't really, I wouldn't say dwell on it, but, you know, you try not to think about it. You got to focus on what you got to do, the guys you're with, you know, the people you're there to help. You know, we do a lot of training. Some of it's physical, you know, whether practicing rescues or staying healthy.
Well, I want to thank you for your vigilance. I know I have a couple of callers here. I'm going to take one that is calling in from the island of Hawaii, so it's going to be a little bit of a transition for a moment. One thing that's been really great with Kauai Community Radio is that we have listeners all around the islands, and we all work together, and we make big changes, and so I'm sure some of them have issues with their life-saving as well. But this one is a little bit about development. We're going to hear really quickly about something that has happened over there. They've had some success, and it's relevant. Like in this show, I even had a call that I'm going to just take it on another show, but about the development that's going on in Kapa'a. They want to put a whole new resort in there, and that feathers in with this too. Like if you have 300 more suites right on the water right there, and I don't think that there is a lifeguard tower right there. The hotels along that east shore there, they are right on the tower. I mean, right on the beach. So people just can walk out, and there's a pretty swift side current there. So that's a really important area. I know that there are some wahipana or sacred sites underneath that development that's here. On Hawaii Island, I know there's something pretty pressing. Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Hi. So, Ruth, go ahead. Tell us quickly about what has happened on Hawaii Island.
All right. So today there was a hearing in Kailua Kona for Hawaii Island regarding a proposed development which would occur directly north of Kaʻūbe. And it's in size, it's 42 acres, and the development proposes to build 306 timeshare units. And the EA, the final EA, environmental assessment that was conducted, and basically every single chapter concluded a finding of no significant impact. So we as a community gathered together and just expressed our dissatisfaction with much of the findings in the report and our request for the Leeward Planning Commission to deny permits until certain subjects could be dealt with more appropriately. And there was also a landowner who owns land adjacent to the property. There were several there, but one in particular who asked for a contested case, which was granted.
Okay, and there is graves under there. That was a really important area in terms of the ali'i almost at the time of contact, correct?
Yes, yeah, that's totally correct. So the way that it's kind of being spinned right now is, to my limited understanding, it's basically that, you know, all the graves are protected, where this actually isn't true. The identified graves for people who have connection to the landscape, you know, there's a handful of them that have been protected, but there's a high risk of exposing more graves and other graves which aren't being protected with buffer zones or anything that will be disturbed. So that was a major topic of the conversations that took place. And that in total, I believe it's 38 archaeological sites which will be destroyed.
And did it seem like the council was listening to you?
It did. I think that they heard us loud and clear. I was trying to get an estimate. I believe there were maybe about 40 individuals who testified, and at least 39 of them were against the project.
And, Ruth, I believe I've met you. You were part of the Mauna Kea Protectors. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Yes. And so I was up there for a weekend up at the mountain. And so you know that you can be successful with these things. So thank you so much for sharing, and I know that there are people here listening that are caring about that, and I see our Kailua Kona family and friends right here on. I can tell who's listening that's online, so it's fun. And so I bet that one of them is Sharon. So mahalo to all of you, and we wish you the best in getting your voices heard and making a difference in your community activism.
Thank you very much for all the support, and we're very supportive of all the other islands as well who are facing similar struggles and challenges.
That's right, and we're all working together. So mahalo nui.
Thank you.
Aloha. So, Andy.
Well, you asked Chris how many rescues or lives he's gotten involved in. A lot of these, most of them are documented, and while they're being documented, they're tabulated by the county. And for the year of 2015, there were 156 island-wide rescues.
Wow.
Okay. That's 156 lives saved due to rescues.
By the lifeguards?
Yes.
I've got island-wide
rescues.
Okay.
The lifeguards performed 113,000 documented preventative actions. Okay. What is a preventative action? Chris, why don't you best qualify what that is?
Pretty much the bread and butter of what we do is education and prevention. So anytime we go down and talk to people, we talk to people, the public, as far as how to avoid danger, how to avoid trouble.
So that's 113,773 that were documented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the 10 lifeguard towers.
Right? Yeah, that's correct.
So there's 53 lifeguards, I believe, that are employed by the county, and these guys are issuing 113,000 preventative actions. Okay. I've got another figure here. First aid, 5,933 were attended to in first aid. That can range anywhere from VANA or a cut to a broken arm.
Yeah, we deal with anything from like a bee sting to a heart attack. We're all first responders and work closely with the fire department and the EMS. You know, so if somebody drops on the beach, we're all first responders and are.
Yeah. Here's another number. 206,894 public contacts. What does that mean?
The public contacts are a lot like the preventions. It's, you know, basically when you talk to somebody, you know, that's a public contact, whether you're giving them the surf report, the snorkel report, you know, public safety, anything like that.
Jet ski rescues, 51.
And that's a big one. And when we started having the jet skis, that really was very, very important, because prior to that, they shut down most of the boating down the coast. Those boat companies used to be rescuing people regularly. And now we need the lifeguards to be going down the coast and going out far. So that's a big one.
And here's a really important one, because there's 10 lifeguard towers. 4 years ago, it was documented that 1.2 million beachgoers were counted in that year's time. So how do you figure out how many beachgoers there are in a particular day?
Guesstimate.
Okay. So the guesstimate 4 years ago was 1.2 million. Now, in 2015, there were over 2 million. That's 800,000 more guesstimated people going to just our lifeguard towers.
I believe that one, and because the beach is so much more crowded than it used to be. You know, it really is, especially at least where I go most of the time, which is, you know, Hanalei or even Kalihiwai. Like, Kalihiwai might be a really good place when you guys have this roving thing. You're going to be looking at what's going on that day. I know at Lumahai we've had things on social media where I see people who I know and love who are maybe 15, 16 years old going over playing dangerous games right there at what we call Tourist Lumahai. When I was 23, I watched somebody die right there, getting a picture taken of himself. People, I mean, these kids, they know what it's like, but we need to kind of be there and go, hey, you know what?
Yeah, and that's correct. I mean, one of the things that we got a chance to do, our supervisors did a great job with it this winter, was they were actually stopping there and, you know, warning people at Tourist Lumahai, Anini, posting signs, you know, doing that outreach, I guess you could say, is what we normally do on the beach, that education part.
So really what these lifeguards are doing is they're basically unsung heroes on a day-to-day basis. I have talked to these guys, Chris and the guys at Hanalei Pavilion, because I used to live right there. And I would be talking to them. They'd be answering me. And at the same time, they've got their eyes peeled, and all of a sudden, they're gone. Because they see something happening down there. And I go, oh, wait a second, where'd they go? What'd they do? It's not just 8 hours sitting at a tower. They are constantly scanning, you know, the entire area, and I just have to say that 8 hours is 8 hours really well spent and serving visitors, tourists. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're from. You know, we're all here together. And saluting and paying attention to the lifeguards and supporting them with the proper equipment while also analyzing what the island needs. The reason why we came up with the PA systems and megaphones this year was I sat, and I don't know whether Chris remembers this or not, but I said, what do you need? And this was about a year and a half ago. And he told me, well, it'd be cool to have PA systems and megaphones to communicate. So I brought that back to Kalani and Vieira, who's in charge of ocean safety, and
does a great job.
We brainstormed the whole deal, and the third wave came about with a certain specific direction. But the ocean-mindedness of our island is at stake, and this is a very important campaign for us, this fourth wave.
So just making it really clear for people who listening who might have just tuned in, this is Andy Melamed and Chris Pico. Dickie Chang had to hele on now, but we are talking about Kauai Lifeguard Association and an event coming up called the Fourth Wave Celebration. It sounds to me like there are a number of ways that citizens and people can help. One is if they were to go to the KauaiLifeguard.org, there's probably a donate button there.
There's a donate button there, or there's ways to tie into our fourth wave by buying a table or supporting a lifeguard tower, sponsoring a lifeguard tower. It could even be sponsoring a lifeguard to come to our event, which is October 22nd at the Marriott, and it's going to be a party.
So we've got a lot of lead time on this, but where it's good that you're in here now, May 11th is when the county council is meeting and they would be looking at this kind of budgeting.
One of our callers had a question about those tables. Just wanted to know, are they literal tables? You're buying a table, or are there tables with brochures and information on them?
No, they're
tables of seats.
Tables of 10.
Uh-huh.
And you can buy a table of 10 to come to the party, which begins at 4:30 and continues till 10:30 in the evening. And there's food, there's silent auction, there's live auction, there's comedy, there's music, there's awards that we're giving to the Junior Lifeguard of the Year. There's the mayor does a live auction on stage. Augie T is the MC. On a continuing basis, there's Kalapana, there's Amy Gilliam, there's Jonathan Rivera's trio. And there's also
Tina Marie
and the world big wave surfing champion, who is a great musician, Makua Rothman, is coming over to perform too. So, I mean, we have and Tina Marie, the hypnotist, and we've got Alaska Airlines tying into it with her, and Island Air, and the performers.
It's a big party, and so when people have like a table. Usually you get really honored, so if they say, Hanalei Surf Company has a table, then, you know, and that would be an example of a business
that may want to buy a table.
Because, do I know that one? Maybe. But that's an example of a business that benefits deeply by the Lifeguard Association, though I will say that that organization has gotten, like, a sled for the jet ski or behind the jet ski, and I remember when I was a part of it, we got wetsuits for everybody. Now, that was some time ago. But there's different ways that businesses can help. And are you going to have a silent auction at that?
Oh, yeah. So we need merchandise. And remember, KLA is a 501c3, meaning a nonprofit. So
Kauai Lifeguard Association. I always try and stay away from the acronyms because people know what it is.
Kauai Lifeguard Association is a nonprofit organization. So any donation that you make or when you purchase a table, a portion of that is tax deductible.
That's right. And so there's many different ways, even just like good ideas. Like I loved the idea, whoever called in, that said, put it on the vacation promotional websites. I would even think like Expedia, you know, something. Well, I shouldn't name names, but like when there are organizations like that, people can have good ideas, and maybe they'd be happy to do it. It makes that website better than the next. If I looked at a website, I was going somewhere, and they told me something that was going to save my life, I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, Felicia, did we get to addressing the issues that that caller brought up? I feel a little responsibility to the person is asking about those online travel sites and whether there wouldn't be some way to tax them.
To tax them?
Yeah.
Well, Dickey Chang just left. He is somebody who had been a county council person. I think that, like, if we wanted to look at that, that would be something that we might bring in Sue Canoho or somebody like that from the Kauai Visitors Bureau. There's different elements like that to actually levy a tax. That takes probably that would take state action. So I'm just giving a civics lesson here for the moment. That's a good question. And so if they wanted a state tax, that would go to Ron Kochi, who is, we're lucky, the Senate president. He represents Kauai, or we have Dee Morikawa, Jimmy Tokioka, or Derek Kawakami.
Well, there is something that is quite interesting that Maui just did that I saw on TV a little while ago. They are expanding their airport, and they're making it like a state-of-the-art airport, and it's not costing the taxpayers a cent. What they're doing is they're surcharging, and I believe it's
on
the county.
Tickets?
No, they're surcharging on the rental cars. $5 a day additional for every rent-a-car on Maui, and that money goes to the expansion of the airport. Now, I don't know whether the airport is a county or a state-funded deal or whatever, but the Maui County voted and is doing that.
So somehow, if something is county, then that's county council. And so, you know, there's always this thing about where do we shove the financial burden and what do we do with it? And so, you know, I know when I go rent a car and then it's only $19 a day, but there's $25 worth of taxes, and then you better get the insurance. It's another $25 on top of it. At some point, we stop having people leave and come, right? So it's a question that needs to be asked, that needs to be a public deliberation where, you know, certainly the rental car companies and the visitor industry would want to be a part of that discussion. But if there's a tax, that's a county council. If it's just for Kauai, if it's statewide, it would be the legislature.
He's talking about taxing large online companies.
Yes. So that is, if it's a state tax, the legislature. If it is, and then when you decide large, all those things, it's never as easy as it sounds.
Right.
It's what's large, you know? So you have to figure out how that happens. But I like that person is asking that question. But I certainly think a phone call that says, hey, you know, and that takes somebody from within your organization or somebody who wants to volunteer within the organization. It's always nice to be very respectful. But to call and maybe have an email or something that's got these statistics that says what happens, and I think when you're adding to that, it's all these overwhelming rescues that happen on the Nepali. You know, sometimes when they go in and they pull 85 people off, you know, people think, hey, yeah, it'd be fun to have a helicopter right out of here. Maybe they need to wait an extra day or two. Something that is before the council is then, do we charge those people for their rescues? You know, that's kind of a really tough one, because then that starts to become, okay, well, we won't save somebody who isn't rich, or only the rich can go down the Nepali. You know, everything is a big box of what we're looking into, but I like that those questions are being asked.
And then there was the question of lifeguard compensation.
Oh, yeah, lifeguard compensation. So here's a question for you. You said these guys are part-time. Part-time, does that mean they don't have any benefits? Is it a different hire?
That's the mayor and Kalani put that together, and I really don't know.
Okay. So maybe it's like semi-retired.
All I do know is that it was going to cost $400,000 to equip and man one tower at like, let's say, shipwrecks, where there were the most drownings this past year, as well as the most rescues this year. Actually, not the most rescues, but quite a few. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, in putting this together, instead of having one fixed tower at one beach, we're talking about covering 10 or 15 beaches with veteran lifeguards driving the basically the roving units, and then having the part-timers fill in at the stationary towers.
Okay. I see. And so maybe those might be new hires, and they're sitting there alongside a veteran. And
exactly.
So it's a good way of training and coming in. So it's like an entry-level thing of doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking you're taking your most experienced lifeguards and then putting them on half-time.
No.
It's a hard sell.
No.
A lot of it has to do with, as far as those part-time guys, it's getting your foot in the door, basically, you know, how much you want the job.
Right.
And I think, you know, once they become full-time, then they'll get the full benefits. But it's just something that a lot of guys have to do to...
It's a way to get in there.
It's the way to get in, yeah.
People love that job. I ran into a fireman, won't name his name, but I was talking to a fireman at the post office today, and I told him what we were talking about on here, and he said, the lifeguards need to get a raise in pay. They work harder than the rest of us, you know, that they're and they're out there in the sun the whole time. I said they're not 24 hours a day. That's a little bit easier, but...
Yeah, that's... I mean, right now, what we're looking to do is we're also looking to... get our own bargaining unit, and I think it's on its way, bargaining unit 14, and that'll give us some voice or more of a voice as far as our pay increase, say, you know, maybe say extended hours, you know, or things like that. You know, these are things, but having that bargaining unit, more of a voice for us, the lifeguards, and I think it's also the sheriff's department are there too.
I want to give a shout out to surfers. I'm looking at you, Chris, and just appreciating watching you grow up and being part of our surf team. And I know that, like, you know, you were right there, peers with like Andy and Bruce and Reno and Roy and, you know, a lot of Dustin. You're a little older than him, I think. But like that whole little posse, Kayala. Guys were really, really great surfers, and I was pushing on the high school about the importance of letting and Andy, your daughter, she's an amazing Mia, she's an amazing Najee. I'm sorry, I'm calling the wrong
and
daughter.
And Dylan, don't forget Dylan.
Yes, they are she's a pro surfer right now. So I would be pushing on the high school saying, you got to, like, let these people travel. You got to let them do this. And they'd say, you know, well, what do you get out of being a surfer? Not everybody's going to go pro. And I'm thinking, hey, you know what? They're going to save everybody's lives. And I'm so proud of how many young surfers on this island have grown up to be our lifesavers, literally lifesavers, in whichever kind of first responder. I look at that group and I just smile and smile and smile, thinking amazing people. And it's just all this time they spent in the water. We had the Bethany and Alana surf contest this past weekend. That was great. And I will shout out to them too for calling it. They didn't put the 10 and under out. It was a little bit too big. The weekend before, we had the Irons Brothers event. It was a perfect day for both them and the Kauai Ocean Rescue Experience, another really great group of, you know, making things possible in the water. We have Evolve coming up, Dove. Everybody loves Dove. He's going to be on in at the top of the hour. I want to give you guys both a final thought about how you would like to just get one last thing, get people to come out whatever way they can to help this fourth wave of helping getting the roving patrols to help save lives around the beaches.
Chris, why don't you go first?
You guys don't have a lot of time, so it's like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think the roving patrol is going to be a good way, you know, and beneficial for our community. You know, good outreach. A lot of what we do, or, you know, with the skis, we respond to, like, each district responds. They have such a huge area of responsibility. You know, I want to say it's anywhere from, like, something like 10 to 20 miles, you know, on, say, east side, the north, and the south. So that's a huge area. And what we're seeing this last winter, and I'm sure, you know, the other districts are going to see it too, is people are venturing out to these unguarded beaches, you know, so that's the ski is a tool to get to those people. The roving team is, you know, maybe we'll be there to do some prevention and education, you know, the bread and butter of what we do.
So mahalo for all that you've done. Andy, you don't have much time more than an aloha.
Okay, Aloha.
And he's a radio man, so he understands that we're off the air.
KauaiLifeguards.org. The fourth wave is up there, as well as the programs. And if you have any questions, you can definitely call me at 482-0218.
Okay, and this has been Out of the Box. Thank you all for everything. And I'm just going to leave with, again, that song for Devin Fitzpatrick. We love him.
KAQA, Kilauea. This is your community radio station. Mahalo to... What day is it? Oh, where am I? I've been a little bit like a deer in the headlights since I woke up this morning hearing about Prince. We are going to be playing some Prince here on to Evolve. This is Dove. And I'd like to tell you that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with...